Alpha Delta 8 Mike Bonnet, Papa monitoring statewide 1.
KJKJO.
KJO, good morning, Tom. It's Gordon, K8DIY.
I think I'm in your neck of the woods.
Oh, really? Visiting the, Northwest Michigan there. I'm not really sure what the folks from outside the region call this area, but very cool. I'm making my way from Manistee over to Cadillac for a thing this morning and driving in the rain. I'm glad it's raining.
Oh, I'm not up that far. I got you over by Durant and Flint and stuff like that. I forgot that you live up there in the, over there by the Pinky area.
All right, yeah, the west side, but the northwest, or the north-north. Luckily not in the UP. I don't know how those folks are breathing right now, but I guess it got really bad down in southeast Michigan, like overnight or late afternoon yesterday. Looking at the maps, at least, with the smoke.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. I was in St. Joseph yesterday for work, and I think the rating was 180, and then over by my house, which is over by Port Huron, it was hot. It was, I think, like 300 or something like that, or 250. It was bad. You know, I was driving, as I drove from St. Joseph's back home, it just got more dense, thicker, and thicker. So, yeah, it was coming through the AC units.
Oh, that's not pleasant. Yeah, yesterday, I ended up wearing one of those N95 masks like we had during COVID. The smoke was coming in through the air conditioning, even in the office building that I work in. You know, not so much that you could see it, but you could definitely smell it in the air everywhere. And felt better having one of those on. I don't know if it's psychological, but it you couldn't smell it anymore, at least with the mask on. So I hope it was doing something.
Yeah, my daughter was working in yesterday. She works in an oil change place, and she said it was bad. So she stopped by one of the local stores and pick up some masks. You know, because it's crap that you really don't want to smell.
Yeah, absolutely. Make up your lungs.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Hopefully the rain will knock it down. I guess we're supposed to get rain maybe later today. But I know my area, we're supposed to be getting rain tomorrow, so hopefully it'll clear the air out a little bit.
Yeah, roger that. The rain has stopped already. It's just a brief little drizzle there, and it's done. Didn't even move any of the dust off my car. So, but yeah, looking forward to rain tomorrow, hopefully. We'll see if the last couple times it was supposed to rain. I think the heat, or it was so hot that the rain just dried up before it made the ground.
Oh, yeah. Well, last week, Friday, my coworker and I were coming back from Ann Arbor up there on US 23, making our way north, and just out of nowhere, just started downpouring. I'm talking about like a river on the freeway, and his work vehicle broke loose and ended up smashing into the guardrail. He's okay, but the truck's got like $20,000 worth of damage to it.
Oh, wow. Well, that's glad to hear that no injuries. Bummer about the vehicle. I got caught in one of those freak downpours. Actually, it was on the 4th of July. I was on my way to volunteer at a parade, and just out of nowhere, just a downpour lasted a few minutes on the expressway and had to pretty much slow it down to like 25 miles an hour. You couldn't even see it was coming down so hard. And then just stopped as soon as it started.
Yeah, well, thank goodness tomorrow I'm off. So, if it pours, it pours, and that'll be a good thing. Water my grass, get my plants all watered, my vegetables, and maybe clean the air. But we'll see. Each day is a guessing game, I guess you could say. Yeah, but yesterday, having asthma was irritating me, and my co-worker, his eyes were burning. You know, so it was really messing with both of us.
Oh, yeah, definitely understandable. It's definitely different. I remember the smoke from the wildfires last year, but it didn't really seem, as thick as it does this year. You couldn't really smell it this year. It's almost like you can taste it. There's so much of it out there. But, yeah, it's... what can you do? Just got to hope the winds will shift and get clean air from the south or somewhere sooner or later. But, now I'm stopped at construction, so I get to sit here and watch people stand around supervising one guy working.
Yep, one laborer, four supervisors.
So they got half the road closed. And then they got their construction equipment parked in the travel lane that they left open. So, go figure. What's the point of having a travel lane if you can have your equipment in it? But I guess they got to get their job done somehow.
Yep, the never-ending construction battles. It's not one area, it's another. Over in the Detroit area, they got, three freeways that they're working on. 696, 75 interchange, we got ramp shut down there, that they're doing westbound lanes from 75 all the way up to Orchard Lake, I think, stuff like that, I don't know, ridiculous, ramps are shut down everywhere, so you got to go 2 miles past, come 5 miles back, annoying.
Oh, yeah, I remember that I lived in Auburn Hills for about 6 years while I was going to school and just working down there, and it seemed every season there'd be a new portion of 75 closed or one of the other feeder roads that comes into it, and then the county, Oakland County, or the cities would be working on their own roads, too, so it was... it was a lot of fun navigating that, especially when the Pistons would be playing or the Lions, or sometimes you'd have both of them on the same weekend, and that was extra special.
Well, it just seems to me that 696 is always constantly being worked on. Yeah, 75, they got construction up by Saginaw now, somewhere up there, or Birch Run. But Detroit... I said if you're going south on 75, you can't get on the 696, so the ramps are shut down. If you're on 696 going towards 75, ramps are shut down that way, so you got to take 8 miles or 12 miles to get around it all. It's ridiculous. It's only one lane each way until it crops over, and it opens up to two. And MSP is hiding everywhere. In that area right now.
The DIY. They got to take advantage of the situation and pad their quotas on traffic enforcement and take also go after people, those that are impatient or more important than everybody else and like to pass on the shoulders or go into the construction lane to pass, all sorts of shenanigans.
KGL. Oh, definitely. I mean, it's ridiculous. Or they're in the left lane and they're like, oh, I need that exit. And they just cut everybody off to get over instead of paying attention and getting off their phone.
Yep, that's how it goes. But what can you do? I used to miss living in the city, but as the years have gone by, I've adjusted back to small town life. I don't really miss the traffic aspect. I miss being able to go out to eat at 10 o'clock at night or go to the grocery store whenever you want. If you want to shop in the middle of the night, you can do that. Here in small town Manistee, everything's pretty much closed by 8 p.m., so if you're not didn't get done what you needed to, you're waiting for tomorrow. But at least the traffic, at least most of the time, is fairly agreeable.
Yeah, I live in a little town myself. I live in Memphis, which is just north of Richmond, south of Emmett, off M-19. When it comes to, whatever you want to call it, rush hour, quote-unquote, yeah, you can still cross the street without an issue.
We're supposed to be getting our own taste of the orange viral madness here. I'm not sure when. I thought it was supposed to start already, but they're closing down U.S. 31. It's like the main road through our town, closing like 6 or 7 miles of it all at once, plan to change it from a 4-lane road into a 2-lane with a center turn lane. And that's supposed to take like 2 years, I think. So that's really going to be an adjustment for everybody, whatever kind of detour they work out. I don't know what all the big trucks that use the highway are going to do. They're really going to pay for it somehow.
Well, that's going to be a fun little travel. So they're making it smaller or they're widening it?
It sounds like a little bit of both. So it's 4 lanes now, sometimes with a turn lane, but the lanes they're narrow. They're like the minimum width you can have for a traffic lane. So they're getting rid of a lane from each side, so there'll just be one northbound and one southbound lane, but they'll be wider, and then they're putting in a wider turning lane. So basically they're just getting rid of the passing lanes or whatever you want to call them. And make it an all divided, or not divided, but, single lane in each direction with the center turn. So the end result will be a narrower road with wider lanes, but no opportunities for passing, which is going to be unfortunate.
I think that's dumb.
I would agree. I think a lot of the people do, but somebody at the state of Michigan thought it was a good idea. And they're going with it. And who cares what the people think? But anyway, I am just about destinated here, Tom, so thanks for joining me on the ride. I'll turn it back to you. This is K8DIY.
All right, Gordon. Enjoy the day. I still got another hour drive to get off to Grand Rapids, so I'll catch you later in the day, probably. I'll be lurking around. 73, KC, KGL.
Nib 73 to you as well. Enjoy your day in Grand Rapids there. I'll be back on later. KCAKJO, KATIY. I'll be clear.
KPR. KF8FTS. KF8FTS. Mobile.
KCAKJO.
KC8. KJO, KF8, FTS. Good morning.
Hey, Dave. How's the day going?
Well, it's going pretty well as long as I stay indoors or stay locked up in my truck with the vents closed and the AC running, I suppose. Are you on the road as well?
Yep. Heading to Holland as we speak. I'm 16 miles from my destination.
Oh, roger that. Yeah, Holland's a nice town. It's a nice town. There's lots to do in Holland, all those little touristy things and what have you. Well, it's good to hear your voice. We just got back in town. We went down to Nashville this week, caught a bunch of shows. It was a good time.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that. Well, that's good. Had a good time. That's all that matters. Yeah, wife and I are planning on in the end of August going up to the UP, getting the Pictured Rocks tour, and then going over to the Sioux Lots and doing that tour. You know, so we're going to spend a 4-day weekend up in the UP.
Oh, that'll be nice, and you'll be able to see that new lock. I'm not sure if it's completed yet, but it's, you know, way bigger than the others to allow the bigger freighters to get through there. Well, that's interesting. Tell you what, the air quality was a whole lot better. We drove back yesterday, and down in Nashville, the air was perfect. And then we got just north of Cincinnati and started encountering it. By the time we got to Dayton, we were in the thick of it. It was thicker. I believe it was thicker there than it is here, but it's pretty nasty. And guy on the news said they had 800 wildfires going. 800 wildfires don't start spontaneously. So somebody's jacking with Canada. And one other question, how was the meeting last night? Were you able to attend?
No, last night I was coming back from St. Joseph's, so... And concentrating on driving. I didn't get back home until like 8:30, but they canceled it and did a radio net set. We'll probably have a meeting next week.
Oh, I see, due to the environmental conditions. So that kind of makes sense. Well, good for them, whoever made that decision. Well, if you'd have known yesterday while you were in St. Joseph that you were going to be in Holland today, could have hung out. They're within just miles of each other.
Yeah, I was right there on the right in St. Joseph's at one of the condo associations. So I was fixing their cameras, climbing through attics, and then repairing card readers. Didn't get out of there till almost 5:30. Got home and it's about 8:30, 8:45, something like that. So, and then today is Grand Rapids, and that's all I had, and that was quick. And they're going to send me to Bay City, but I'm like, oh, that's 2.5 miles back the other direction. Maybe something out here. So she goes, well, I got Holland. I said, that's fine. I said, if I get done with this early enough, then I'll go back to Saginaw and take care of that.
Yeah, there you go. That'll work out good. A lot less back and forth. That always made me crazy whenever they would dispatch me. I was driving all over the city in a star pattern all over the city instead of making a nice circle or a star pattern across southeastern Michigan. You know, here and then up to there and then down over to there and across to there. It was crazy. That was absolutely crazy. But I'm not a dispatcher, see. I don't know. You try to tell them, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's you.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind going all over the place. I mean, I've been to Petoskey. I've been to Sheboygan, Charlevoix, Traverse City, Muskegon, Holland, Grand Rapids, St. Joseph's, Benton Harbor. You know, I basically just go wherever they sent me. I've been doing it now for the past few years.
Well, Roger that. Well, I was more considering, you know, them sending you to Traverse City and then to Flint and then to... Grand Rapids, and then over to Bay City, and then to Alpena. You know, one of those kind of crazy routes. All, you know, they should try to do that to us. But at least it was more locally, more metro. And I told them, I said, well, you pay me by the hour, so you send wherever you want to send me. Pretty crazy.
Okay, Joe. Yeah, I went to Alpena one day. Went up there, went to Alpena in the winter, and then got done with that, came home. That was a one-shot deal, you know, but I've been to Petoskey now more times than I can count on my fingers, you know, on my hands. So, yeah, no, they don't do anything like that. They don't make us crisscross. We go over wherever they send us, and then they keep us in that area, and we just work our way back.
Yeah, very good. That's as it should be. That's as it should be. I was wondering, too, about... I got a call from Bridgecom the other day, and they said they have they've got this new Maverick HT that has all the digital repeaters programmed in, or all the DMR, rather, repeaters programmed in. Is there a code plug somewhere that we can access so we can have that rather than, just the ones here in Michigan?
Probably if you go to the where we get your DMR ID from, I'm sure there's a bunch of code plugs in there that you can figure out. That's a possibility. I didn't know that Bridgecom had one that covered the entire U.S. That'd be pretty cool. But I don't have their radios, the Anytones, so.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, they copied, I think it was the Anytone 870 or the newest one, and put their own name on it, and now they claim that you could talk around the world. So it has more than just U.S. It has repeaters, I guess, in Europe and South America and things like that. At least that was my understanding. I could be mistaken, but that seemed to be what the guy was telling me. Of course, they wanted, they're making me a deal for that Maverick radio plus their SkyBridge, I think they call it, which is a hotspot, for $800. That was going to be their deal.
Ah, gotcha. Nope, I just got my DMR ID, and I can pick any talk group I want to go into. And just yet that way. And it didn't cost me all that much money.
Well, roger that. So this is stuff that you had to program into your radio from a list?
Well, I might be losing you guys here in Zealand. Who was that out there? I heard ZLH out there. KKKJO.
Yeah, this is N8CLH. I had a comment on that Bridgecom he was talking about.
Yeah, this is KF8FGS. Yeah, go ahead. What do you got?
So I have the Maverick.
Yeah, go ahead with your comment about the Maverick.
The person from Bridgecom. I don't have a hotspot, so it's like that code plug is.
Yeah, I'm at the end of my rope here. I'll talk to you guys in a bit. I'll listen out, though. KCKJO.
Yeah, 7-3, Cujo. Yeah, COH, come back with your comments about the Bridgecom. All I got was part of it. But from what I understand, you have to have, as long as you have an internet connection, you're good, and that their hotspot, their SkyBridge, whatever they call it, provides that connectivity. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, I don't get the best signal going into a repeater.
Oh, I understand that, which I'm in Sterling Heights, Michigan, talking to the Mount Clemens repeater. What's your location?
I'm in Redford using the Detroit repeater.
Oh, roger that. Now, you're coming through really well. I'm probably, 15 miles from the repeater, and I'm hearing you good. I could probably go off the Detroit repeater as well. Just happens to be where I'm at on the radio dial. KF8FGS, back to you.
Oh, very good. It's like hit or miss for me. I notice sometimes I got quite a bit of signal loss every once in a while. But this happens to be the best repeater for me at this location. What radio are you using?
Yeah, roger that on best location for you. Yeah, I understand for sure. This is the DM32 from Alpine.
Very nice. I heard good things about those, and it's definitely not expensive, isn't it?
Kilo 8 Zulu Alpha Golf.
Yes, for tech support, it's pretty good. I have an iPhone 570 that I use at my pace, and tech support is really good. I heard another station there. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Leon, Livia Echo Oscar November. I just connected to the Burnside repeater, direct repeater. So I'm just a beginner at this DMR, so I'm just listening to what you guys are talking about and being across town. You're probably using TGs, right, to communicate to this repeater. Back to you.
This is. FTS. Well, they're all networked and linked together. I'm talking to the Mount Clemens repeater, and CLH is talking to the Detroit repeater, and you're on Burnside. I've been connected to Burnside before. It doesn't matter where you are. It's statewide.
Okay, thanks for the information. I'll be listening, and I'll let you guys continue on your conversation. Thank you very much, sir. This is Kilo 8 Zulu Alpha Golf.
Very good. I just wanted to throw that comment out there. It sounds like you had a very good understanding of it already, which is good. I'll sit back and go back to monitoring. Nice having a little Kiso with you. This is NHCLH and clear for now.
NHCLH, well, thank you, 73. And I've been studying about the DMR for a while. I've been talking on it for about a month. So I downloaded a code plug from the Macomb County ARPSC that somebody prepared. Again, with a couple of hundred frequencies. If you look,
Kilo 8 Zulu Alpha Golf. Kilo 8 Zulu Alpha Golf, listening.
KCKJL. KCKJL.
KPR.
AF8 FGS monitoring.
KCKJL. KCKJL. Stay one. And ATAF, I-75, mile marker 2.
This is FPS, the M59.
Barely getting a copy on you.
Well, I'm in Jordan.
Digitizing badly. I can't understand what you're saying, and I might be having the same problem as you. And I just crossed the border into Ohio, so I'll just check the logs later. So you be safe out there, Dave. There's the NHCAF clear after your final.
Roger that. KCAKJO, this is KF8FTS. You copy?
KCAKJO, it's fine, Dick.
Oh, we got a real good copy on you this time. I was I'm at my dad's apartment building, and he lives on the west side, and so out the east windows of the dining room here, Mark Clemens or Peter picks up real well. I trust you had a good day.
Oh, yeah, I'm sitting in front of Saginaw Police Department. The person I need to see here is not here, so I'm done for the day.
Oh, my goodness. All the way from earlier you were in, yesterday you were in St. Joe, today you're in Holland, and now Saginaw. And the person's not there. That's totally rude.
Well, I was hoping to get here fast enough. I mean, when I was done in Grand Rapids, they were going to send me to Bay City, but then found out that that account is on a financial hold or whatever they call it. You know, more or less I got to pay their bill. So instead of Bay City, I went to Holland, and after Holland, I still had some time left. So the POC was supposed to meet me here at the police department, but looks like he took off. I missed him by, like, 10 minutes. So no big deal. I'll just come back up Monday. Casey, could you?
Well, roger that. Well, that's the life of a service tech. A lot of glass time. Well, I'm going to say a quick 73. It's good to hear you out there. We're Dad and I are about to have dinner at the restaurant in his apartment building. So we'll catch you after dinner when you're on your way back. Here's this KF8FGS saying 73.
All right. Enjoy dinner. I'll talk to you later. 73. KJ.
KF8FGS, WEAP, real quick. I guess he took off. Just wanted to tell him, and I could probably, in my younger days, I could probably throw a rock or a baseball to his house. So he's real close. Probably the closest ham within simplex range of me that I know of.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I got a coworker, or a former coworker, that lives the next street over from me, and I can shoot a bottle rocket into his yard.
Yeah, well, I'm exaggerating. I think he's about a half a mile northeast of me. But, yep. I noticed that the other day. I just haven't heard him out there. I was going to mention it last time I heard him, but I forgot. I just turned my radio on, and I seen it was him. I was just going to throw that quick comment in. Yeah, I'll catch him next time.
Yeah, he'll probably be back out shortly. Like he was going to go grab food with his dad at his apartment building or the building that he's at. I gave him a phone call, but I'll be back, Eric. Casey, okay, Joe. Eric, are you telling stories again?
KF8DRC, KF8EDQ.
KF8DRC, go ahead.
How are we doing today, Jack? How was your day today? What did you get accomplished?
Well, I got a lot. No, I have to go.
I'm letting my dogs out, having a cigarette, and got done with work today, so we're ready to just relax for the weekend, I think. I don't know, my boss was pinging me at the end of the day, and he was upset that I took some nodes offline to do some stuff, and I had to put them back online, so I don't know if he has any more questions about that.
Yeah, he probably don't. If he didn't say nothing back, I mean, he doesn't have no answer for you anyhow. No big deal. Just take it in another day. Like they say, take it another day another.
Yeah, Roger, have you been calling into the East Coast Reflector and telling them about your Amish products that you like to enjoy?
This morning I was there about 8:30. I usually, after 8 o'clock, I usually come up 8:15, 8:11, 8:30 sometime. Depends if they have one another one at 8:30. Today was Amish. And not Amish. I didn't say Amish today. I said no. Waste money.
Yeah, Roger. I don't know how you are with the Amish salad. So, but yeah, I got a hot spot tuned to the East Coast Reflector, and I will listen to it occasionally. Mostly, I just want to listen to the question of the day to see what it is. It's usually nothing too impressive, but I like to listen to it nonetheless, see what it is. But, yeah, it's always an interesting net that they have there every morning. But, yeah, the MI-5 system, are you coming in off of a hot spot, or are you coming in off of a repeater near Rochester?
I'm coming through the radio, the 9600 CYC.
All right, it says that you're coming in through the Mount Clemens repeater, but you got a TYT, a 9800. I didn't know that was I didn't know that was a DMR. Are you sure it's not like a 380 or a 390?
It's 96.9600. And it's a good radio, let me tell you something. It gets out. And that's the one I've been talking to you guys in the morning on the GMRS.
Yeah, Roger, got you. Yeah, the 9600. Do you have that programmed with, is that an open GD77 radio?
That and the 390, my 390, the PYT 390, they're both G77.
I really enjoy the open GD77 firmware. It's pretty easy to program. The user interface is quite intuitive after you learn, go through a couple of speed bumps and learning curves, but it's easy and it's quick. I'm a huge fan of those open GD77 radios. I wish that they were still developed.
That golfing, DM, UV32, that is a... That 77 too, same thing. I was talking to you a few minutes ago on that one. Now I switched to the 9600.
Are you saying that the DM32 UV can also be an open GD77 radio? I've never seen anything posted online about that.
Oh yeah, if you can program it that way.
All right, yeah, it's something I'll have to look into. I'm searching it up. Open GD77. I'm pulling it up. Oh, it does. You're right. I am going to have to make that adjustment because I absolutely despise the CPS and the operating system of the default DM32. It's pretty awful. So I'm going to have to, I might do something about that today.
This buffing, That was, I was telling you, the UV32. I really like it. It's colors. I have colors on top and bottom, different colors. Also, when you keep the mic, it shows the white and shows the blue. I set it up that way. And I really carry that all the time with me.
Yeah, I'd be willing to use the DM32 if it was open GD77 because I absolutely can't stand that firmware that's on it now. If you try to program it, the DM32 with the Baofeng software, and you program analog channels into it, the tones are way off to the right side. So you got to scroll like 10 feet to the right in order to get to the tones. It's really annoying. GD77, on the other hand, not so much.
You know what? There's a lot of options to that GD77 you can put in. With this radio, the DM32, UV32, there's a lot of options you can put in. What I did is, you know, on one side, on the B2 side, I put all the, you know, up north the stations, and I closed it. And put it in the front, the stations are on here. That's what I did.
Are you saying that you programmed the radio through the front panel? I don't really do that. I even with all my radios, I end up using the CPS because there's at least a couple hundred channels that I like to program into my radios with all the different zones and whatnot. So unless I have to make a change or just add a single channel, I'm not likely to use the front panel.
The computer. That's what I did. And it took it. Even the GMRS, you can put them there too.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. Yeah, I remember having one radio that can do GMRS and dual band, you know, because GMRS is just part of the UHF band anyway, so... Might as well be the same radio. But I'm using a Yaesu now. It's an FT70DR, and I'm using it with my hotspot. So hopefully I'm making it in. According to the PiStar dashboard, I am. But there was somebody else I was talking to on here. They said that my transmissions are not quite making it. Are they clear right now?
Now it's gone. I cannot talk on the GMRS. But I will do that tomorrow. I will see if I can listen to it at 7 p.m.
Yeah, give it a whirl because they want to do nets and whatnot. So we're supposed to have Sheboygan County Bob do the net this weekend, but I'm gonna be the backup just in case.
All right. Well, I hope that that repeater might even reach all the way here. I don't know how far the footprint for that repeater, the 550 or the 575, but I usually get both of them. The 575 this morning was not on, and the 725 was on yesterday, the Flint repeater.
Yeah, Roger, if I'm not mistaken, the Flint repeater is up and running, but it's not linked. So you wouldn't be able to hear us or participate in that on the Flint repeater, but Mayville is linked, so... I don't know when the rumor is that they're linked with microwave, but I have my suspicions otherwise.
No, really, I don't care too much about that, but I like it when they're linked, that's all.
Yeah, Roger. Yeah, it's way more fun when they're linked. I wish that they were all linked up like before. That was a lot of fun and very entertaining. all the GMRS people on there all linked together. Hey, it was a riot. But what was I going to tell you? I got, you're familiar with hams over IP, if I'm not mistaken. You at least have an extension on that system, if I'm not mistaken.
Not much on that one at all. A little bit I heard about it, but I'm not that much really on it.
Well, when I learned about hams over IP, I started my own free PBX server, and so now I have a bunch of extensions, and I have trunk access to hams over IP, and I have yet to make or receive a single phone call over that system. It gets trunked in through my local PBX server, and then it's supposed to be my extension in that PBX system. But I have yet to test it out. I've called like the testing channels, like the time, to check the time, to make sure the audio is working and all that. And I even had an All-Star link request put in to have one of my All-Star nodes connected to it so you could connect through there. Everything seems to be working. I have yet to make a phone call.
All right, we got to make a phone call. Well, I'll talk to you later. Good talking to you here, anyhow. And I like it here. Better from somewhere else. Take care. KFA-GRC.
No, I was just making a comment that I have not made a phone call through the hams over IP system yet. I have not received a phone call. I have not made... I think I called your line, left you a voicemail, but I'm not sure, but... All right. I just wanted to talk about hams over IP or Meshtastic is pretty interesting. I'm about to set up a couple of mesh core clients, so I've been monkeying around with a lot of mesh stuff lately. But we'll catch you another time. KF8DRC, KF8EDQ.
Long time ago, when you said something, I'm not going to say it here, but I can give you a call over the phone, or you give me a call, and I was telling you.
I don't remember ever being on the phone with you. If memory serves me, I can't remember. So you'll have to text it to me or call me again and tell me.
All right, Mike. Take care. KFA-DRC.
Yeah, all right, Jack. Take care, 7-3. We'll catch you on the air. KF8DRC, KF8EDQ.
KF8DRC.
K-E-A-W-U-O. I can give you a call on your Hollywood phone if you want.
That would be fantastic. Let me go grab my secondary phone that I have the VOIP client set up on.
All right, yeah. Just let me know when you're ready, and I'll need your extension. But I can definitely do that.
WADAP. All right, Roger. I'm pulling up my extension. Oh, shoot. I'll have to look it up. It's on QRZ. Somebody's calling me now. Hang on. All right, let me just make sure I'm getting in all right. My extension is 104043. 104043.
All right, I will dial it now. K-E-A-W-U-O.
All right, thanks. K-E-A-W-U-O, K-F-A-E-D-Q, I'll be clear.
KF8S from WADAP.
Unfortunately, it's telling me that extension is not in service. KEAWUO.
All right, KEAWUO, KF8EDQ. I'll have to look into that because I just tried to change up all my networking. And I tried to run a separate DHCP server on my network through a PI-hole. And it just didn't pan out, and I had to reverse all my changes, and I think it screwed something up with my PBX server. But thanks for trying to make the call, K-E-W-U-O-K-F-A-E-D-Q.
Yep, no problem. I think there was another gentleman on here trying to talk to someone, so I'll step out. But if anyone needs me, I'll be here and monitoring, K-E-A-W-U-O.
Well, you can't leave now because I just got in the van, K-C-K-G-O.
It's like I'm making it on the dashboard, but it's like I'm invisible out here.
Long, far away spots.
Yeah, I think I'm invisible. Must not be getting out.
You're jumping in there somewhere.
I tried to get in there about 8 times, and no one's acknowledging me, so maybe I'm looking at the dashboard. It looks like I'm getting in.
Yeah, you are now, Eric. Back in the truck, heading home. John, you still out there? I should be getting in. I'm here in...
Oh, boy.
WADAP, Eric, you still out there?
There's no official open GD77 for the DM32. There's an experimental, some guy picked up on a fork, and he's trying to experiment with it. It is out there, but it's in the extreme beta stage right now. If you do a Google search, or if you're on Telegram, I can send you the firmware. But there is a firmware, OpenGD77. It just came out, and it's not really, I'm not sure if it's like a pre-beta or what.
Is that for the DM32? That beta from OpenGD77?
Yeah, and I was also going to ask the gentleman what version of CPS he has for the DM32, because I think it's excellent. I think the menu system on it is excellent for factory firmware, and the factory CPU is excellent. I had no problems with it. It's way better than the stock TYT firmware for the MD9600. To me, it's not OpenGD77, but I think the DM32 CPS is very easy and user-friendly. But I have version, I think it's 1.52. I'll have to double-check here. It's not the one that's on the Bofang website. That's, like, way old.
K-E-A-W-U-O, K-C-K-G-O. You still out there, too, John?
Yeah, I'll be right back. We're having a phone call.
Hi, I'll be lurking with Eric still there. K-C-K-G-O.
K-E-A-W-U-O, I'm back home.
Oh, okay. Did you make that text out last night? That's a question. I haven't been in the office at all today?
Well, that's a loaded question. I would have to see the setup and the configuration, but I don't know. I would have to assume that a bigger antenna is probably designed with a longer coax in mind, but I don't know. I'd really have to see a little bit more context and whatnot to know how to answer that properly. But I also might not be the best for that. But I don't know. That Tom, and then over to Darren, K-E-A-W-E-O, and anyone else that wants to jump in.
Oh, Darren out there too, K-F-E-E-T-Q. Go ahead, Darren. I didn't hear you out there.
Yes, I'm out here. I'm trying to figure out why my antenna that is 60 inches gets negative 113 decibels. My HT antenna gets 80 or negative 89 decibels, and my 30-inch antenna gets negative 91 decibels.
Sounds like it's a little in the mud there.
Depends what kind of antenna it is. I mean, that's your signal strength. Lower the better. And you do have a lot of packet loss. At KF8EDQ, you got a lot of packet loss, but your signal's pretty decent, minus 93. Minus 91.
Thank you. The 30-inch should be, I think it is, GI minus 9, or 119, or something like that. And then the other one is a 60-inch antenna, and it has three phasing elements in there. So it has a total of four elements on there, or four active elements, and the 30-inch has two active elements, I believe, whereas the 15-inch was using me as a ground plane, seemingly.
Again, I'd like to know what kind of antenna it is, and using different coax, using the same coax on those other two antennas, and what brand are they?
Okay, I'll have to look it up on my order history to figure it out.
Could be that the one antenna has a lot longer coax, a lot less loss in the coax. Coax doesn't really make that big of a difference on the lower bands, but on up here, the coax quality and your connection quality makes a huge difference. So that could be it. Could be a feed line issue.
So the antenna that I had was a Comet GI-190. That is roughly the 30-inch antenna. The 60 is a Bingfu or something weird like that antenna, and that one should have a lot more gain. I'll get the exact name up real quick. Bingfu Mobile Ham Radio High Gain Antenna Dual Band UHF EHF 62-inch. It doesn't really give you anything useful for it.
Yeah, it might be a defective antenna. I actually have a Bingfu mobile antenna. It's really short. It's probably about 18 inches. That thing works fantastic. Kind of flat match almost everywhere. It gets out really good. I don't know about the 62-inch one. But Comet, you can rely on Comet. And for the most part, the Bingfus have been good to me, but I don't have a 62-inch one. It sounds like there's something wrong with that antenna.
Okay, thank you. That's my next direction, I guess, to look into and figure out why. Did I connect it together the wrong way?
Do you have access to an SWR meter or a VNA antenna analyzer? Check your match.
Yeah, I already looked at the antenna matches on there. It's really crap. It's like 5 SWR on 30 centimeter, or no, 70 centimeters, and on 1.25 was where it was the closest, and it was under 1.5 through that whole band. And that the 2-meter band, I'm close to 10, maybe, between 5 and 10.
Yeah, 5-to-1 match is pretty bad. I mean, 2-to-1 match is okay in a pinch, but yeah, you should be under 1.5. Like that Bing Fu antenna I had was like under a 1.5 on a 2 meter and 440. It was really low, and it was actually under a 2 on GMRS. So yeah, if you got a 5, I wouldn't even transmit on that.
Okay, thank you. I think I see where I went wrong. I'll have to test it out tomorrow because don't want to go outside again. But yeah, I think what I did was hooked up the phasing elements incorrectly in the wrong order. Because I think it's supposed to be the biggest one on the bottom and then the smallest one and another big one.
Sorry about that. Let go of the mic. Depending on what your budget is and what kind of mount it is, I know you guys are going to laugh with the Comet, I think it's called a Comet 2x4, SR 2x4. Maybe 50 inches. Anyhow, that covers 2 meter, 440, covers the MERS band and FRS. But it's kind of expensive. It's pricey. But it's a Comet 2x4 SR, I believe the number is.
That looks kind of similar to roughly what I have right now that I was testing out with. That was giving me bad SWR. I will have to probably look at some more of the technical data sheets, but I believe, it offers a little bit less DVI of gain than the one that I have on my car if it were to actually work. But it's, also, it seems like it might be a little bit smaller of an antenna, but yeah, cool. Thank you. I will look into fixing the phasing thing tomorrow and see how well it does then after that. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. Be out shortly. Listening for a short while.
Yeah, okay, got Eric on this end, WAEAP. And yeah, monitored, throwing some comments. By the way, Tom, he's calling for you. Someone's calling for you over there on the P25 repeater. Anyhow, I'll be standing by. WAEAP.
KLUC-KVDRC-KVS mobile.
Hey, Dave, if you're just calling for me, I'll be right back. I'm on the phone. WADAP.
Yeah, no problem. I was looking for Jack, but I think you might have already told him all the truth.
Excuse me, ladies, do I have to go? Listening?
Hey, Joe, this is Annie, Bravo, Zulu, Romeo.
Hey, Brian, how are you today? Just checking out this new Motorola to see if I got it programmed right. It sounds like I must, huh?
Well, you must have it programmed right because you're getting through to me, but I thought you were going to be using is that you that was using the DM32, or was it some other Joe?
No, I have the DM32 as well. Starting to get quite a little bit of a collection going on here. But this one, how does this one sound? Is it sounding okay?
Sounds great. Maybe a little bit high on the mic gain, but we're supposed to use digital gain number 2. On the MI5 network is what everybody's been telling me, but I don't know how that, how that works in the Motorola.
Okay, yeah, I'll take a look at it. I'll just try and talk a little quieter. I've been pulling my hair off for last space with this CPS trying to understand everything. I'll try and find some mic gain settings once I go back down in the dungeon and connect everything back up.
Is that the CPS or the Baofeng that you're having troubles with for the DM32 or the Motorola?
No, it's the Motorola, just because it's set up a little bit different. I've been dealing with a lot of Anytone radios and the Baofeng and the Anytone CPS software is pretty similar. But Motorola one has like five times the options. So just trying to sort out what it all means. You know, everything seems like it's in Motorola's own jargon. Doesn't you got to look up what every little thing is and what it means. But I think I'm getting the hang of it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that they all got to be like that, even them Chinese ones, you know, especially with Chinese CPS and half the stuff doesn't make any sense.
Crazy, did you?
So cool, Joe.
Sorry to turn the radio down. I was listening to Triumph.
Go ahead, Cujo.
Yeah, what are you guys chit-chatting about?
Joe jumped on there. He's messing around with the Motorola. He wanted to check it out and see if it was working. And then we just started talking about the DM32. Over.
Oh, okay. Did he buy a 7550? Is that what he got?
Yeah, I picked the one that I think he had for sale up, and I've been slowly compiling all the parts, the cable for the programming and some belt clips and whatnot, so sounds like I got everything figured out here. Do these Motorola radios have, do they support, like, the radio ID contact list instead of just looking at numbers so that I can see people's names on my screen, or is that not a thing?
Nope, you gotta put it in the contact list. If yours came up, NAHAP, and it said Joseph. And then I got Brian's in there, NAPCR. So, yes, it does support it.
I see that. I mean, I know it goes one way, but all I'm seeing on my list right now is just your radio ID number on my screen, I mean. So I'll have to figure out how to put that data in, I guess. I know, you know, with the DM32 and the Anytone, you have to import the contact list from radio ID and then upload it onto the radio. So I'll have to try and figure out how to do that on this one.
I've been using it list from Clip. It's in the, for the DM32, you look at the code plugin and you can see that there's a list in there. And I've just been editing that because I've just been talking to the few local people and on MI5. Haven't been talking to people all over the universe.
Yeah, I uploaded mine from my 4550 and put it in my 5550, and then I took it and I copied and pasted it from my CPS list for my 5550, and I copied and pasted it into my HT, my 6550. So that's in there. It takes a little bit of trickery, but I don't think you can import down per se, but if there's an import function on the file, you know, under file, then yes, but if not, yeah, you got to put them in individually.
So I'm assuming that's under the RX contact with us. See, as you're talking, I'm putting it all together. I'm just happy this thing is working at this point, so. Yeah, I'll have to look at that. You know, I like Brian's idea of just putting in the local people. You know, you guys, you know, Dave and the crew. So maybe I'll work on that later tonight. I'm just I'm excited to be standing on my deck and not coughing.
I'm still driving through the stuff in front of my truck from the condensation. My ladder's up top, my ladder rack, the front of the van, and the mirrors all have, like, this brown, smelly dust on it.
Well, don't stick it in there. That's why.
Well, because then I've been driving all over God's green earth the past 3 days.
Well, don't get stuff will go on it, and you won't get brown stuff on it.
All right, fellas, I'm gonna hop out of here and go back down to the dungeon and a little more tinkering. So thanks, Brian, for coming back to me. I appreciate that. Tom, have a good night, buddy, and we will talk to you guys later. 73.
73, Joe. Give me a holler if you want to check something else out. I'll be up here monitoring. See you later, Tom. 73. NADGR, we're clear.
All right, Joe. Take it easy, Brian73. Joe, if you send me an email, either via Discord or go to QRZ and send it to my Gmail, I'll open up my CPS and I'll send you my archive from the 6550. And then all you gotta do is just like flip it right in, just drop it right in there. It should import right into that 7550, because they're the same radio, just mine has a single screen and yours is a multicolor.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great. I appreciate it. I will look you up on QRZ in a little bit and fire off an email to you. Appreciate that. This is NADJP. I think I forgot to sign off.
All right. Yeah, I got about an hour to get home, so I'll send it to you tonight. KHJP, Joe.
WFSM Melanson.
Was that you out there, Fred? That was Chit-Chat, because all I came across was a DMR ID. I didn't see anything else.
Well, technically, that's all we are, just unready. But for some reason, I'm on Echo.
Yeah, it's coming across as 31244, so I figured I'd show the DMR ID for work or something. But can you, you cannot, on a Motorola, you cannot import contacts, can you, with a CSV?
No, well, CSV import or deport. Not that it matters. I don't really care. I just keep a screen open. It's all updated.
Well, I got my cold plug all already set up for the 6550. You know, Joe's radio is a 7550, so same radio, just different screens on it. So my archive list should just pop right into his radio. All I have to do is change his DMR ID on it.
Yeah, well, we're stuck for the swing bridge. So, yeah, waiting for the swing bridge there. It's open and to let boats go through.
Where are you at with a swing bridge?
Up here in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. I was at St. Joseph's yesterday, right down the water from that big, is it a swing bridge? A twist. It's a turntable bridge. It's kind of a turntable and just a train trestle. It just spin.
Yeah, there must be another boat, because the boat that just went through had no reason for the bridge swing to be swinging open, so it seems like it was kind of a waste for them to open the bridge for that, but now it's swinging back to let cars go across here.
Does it twist, or does it lift up like a drawbridge, or is it spin on a center axis?
No, it spins on an axis. It's an offset axis, but it spins on an axis, basically.
Oh, you got to take a picture of that and send it to me on Discord. The one I got, that's the same thing that they had in St. Joseph's yesterday. Sitting out there working outside on a pool patio at a condo association right at the edge of Lake Michigan. And it kept chirping, and then it would start swinging open. And boats would go by, and then it would swing closed, and they'd swing it open again. But it wasn't a vehicle bridge. It was for a railroad. For the granary.
No, this is for vehicles, and when I was a youngin', we could sit on, you could stand on the bridge, because that's where the controls were originally. And when I was young, you could stand on it and ride the bridge back, and, you know, when they opened and closed it, so we would fish off it.
But they don't allow that anymore because it's a hazard.
Correct. But then now there's a control shack on the east side, so you know, nobody rides it now, but yeah, they rebuilt the bridge about 15, 20 years ago now, and so ever since then they've built a new shack, control shack, so you don't have to ride it to control it.
Oh, it's all remote now, I get it. Yeah, the one in St. Joseph's, the where one of the railroad people had their big truck on the track and it sat right there in the middle, and he was swinging it back and forth, back and forth. You know, I guess they're doing some testing on it, but yeah, the controls are still right on the bridge itself.
Yeah, there's a little handheld. I remember as a kid, there's a little handheld box with like three or four buttons, and you can, you know, the operator would hand throw the stop gate down, and then we'd have to go push, you know, push and hold it, and then we'd ride it while it was, you know, swinging because we were fishing off of it. But yeah, I think 20 or 24 years ago, they tore it all out and put a whole new bridge in, and then there's an air-conditioned shack, you know, that the operator sits in and oversees the whole thing.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like to see that. Yeah, they got the drawbridge in Port Huron on Water Street for all the sailboats. That one goes up, and then they have there's a Huron River cruise that you can go on, and it's parked right by one of the drawbridges in downtown Port Huron. So when the boats go through, they lift that up and get all the honking and stuff. I'd love to see the one bridge in Duluth, Minnesota, but that's not going to happen anytime soon for the freighters coming through. But I'll get to go see the locks later next month. I'm excited about that.
There you go. All right, I just switched over to Heckleburg because as soon as Michelle gets out of this store, we're going to be heading towards that repeater, so I'll be heading east. And there goes the ass.
Oh, is this a CMN repeater, or is this a repeater for work?
Well, CMN repeater. We got Heckleburg and Mackinac. I was on Mackinac. For some reason, the radio went over to Mackinac City at first, but then when I was down by Fairburns here, I lost it. You for a second, because obviously I'm in downtown, and I'm like, really? I have a shot straight over towards Heckleburg from here, so I forced it over to Heckleburg.
Oh, that's why I had a little bit of an issue. So I was driving out to Grand Rapids, and I know I lost a little bit of communication. But I did okay in the Hudsonville, Bahamas area. And I forgot which one I picked up, almost off of Jackson because of the smoke and everything. So I had DMR off of Jackson, maybe a little bit further, but I can't remember. I know as when I went to St. Joseph's that I can hear, but I don't think I can see it for a piece of
hope. So, all right. We're headed towards Indian River now, so I'll be heading towards Heckleburg.
Yeah, a long night ahead of you.
No, Indian River. I'm only 10 minutes from Indian River right now. I'm coming across 68, so yeah, I'm only 10 minutes from Indian River. I'm in a Lansing, not Lansing, Lansson, between Petoskey and Indian River.
Oh,
yeah. You were nice on that one. Digital, I should say. WFSR.
Oh, now I'm like me, though. How do you like that? Yeah, I was up in Saginaw earlier, and I was right against the building at the police department. And I couldn't get out. And I met up with Jeff up in Milwaukee, North Saginaw area there, helping open some doors, and I took off.
Well, you get that. Yeah, I looked over at the iPad. You were on Flint 4, or Flint, so I was like, oh, you're coming through that area.
Yeah, like I said, I was up in Saginaw, so of course I'll hit the Franklin Bridgeport repeater up there. Just on down, and I just bounced up for Flint, and I just looked over at St. Hill, so really good coverage.
Yeah, we build a decent repeater network, that's for sure. Here. This morning with the band opening, I was sitting at the lake, and I heard my Flint APRS Digi Direct on my handheld, you know, decoded a packet, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, that's just heard via Flint. I'm like, there's 200-plus mile handheld coverage for handheld reception.
Oh, yeah, yesterday, I mean, UHF opened up wide for a while. Even WA8MAC, you know, Mount Clements VHF repeater, I was hearing it out in the land thing. I'm like, whoa. So, yeah, the band's opened up for quite a while yesterday.
And then somebody emailed me, they copied my call sign on a GMRS repeater in Wisconsin, I guess. I just saw the email. I was like, well, it says, no, I copied your CWID, and I copied another CWID on, you know. He's like, yeah, that's your Flint repeater I copied. I'm like, okay, from Wisconsin?
Yeah, they posted on Facebook showing DHF and how big it opened up. I mean, it was from Minnesota, Wisconsin, all the way down to the, all across the state, you know, our state, in Ohio and parts of Pennsylvania. Whoa.
No,
it's
been kind of nice. Well, we got the party done today that we were here for, or came up for, so that's done. And so now I get 3 days to relax. Well, I think tomorrow I'm going to tear apart my rack up here and rebuild it and put some new shelves in to organize it, clean up the wires and the mess. And I did some camera changes and upgrades this morning before the rain hit. So when I get back here and put my feet up, I'm going to finish working on the software on those cameras. And tomorrow I think we're going to tackle the cleaning of the rack. If my little brother shows up, we're going to put the starter in the tractor. I know that. So I think he might come out tomorrow when he gets out of work, and we'll change the starter out in the tractor.
Yeah, I have no clue what I'm doing tomorrow. I thought I was supposed to come over, but he's going to Machine Adventure for free. With,
a little smoke, but then, you know, Sunday, Monday, I might pick back up again.
Oh, so you're going to be working on that stuff. Okay. Like I said, from the condensation, from the cool night last night, started driving through it, the whole front of the truck is brown from all the fine particulate matter of the fires. It was kind of funny, because the truck's white.
Oh, we got ash on the trucks up here and the vehicles and everything's got ash on it. So I definitely need to get that all blown off and washed off here too. But it's like, why bother? It's just going to re-cake on here again for another couple days.
Yeah, same here. I'm just going to leave it out there. But I know I went down a dirt road, but that's on the back end, and it's two different colors. On the back is a more, looks like road dust. But the front, like I said, is all caked out there from the condensation. But hopefully we'll get a good rainstorm and it'll wash it all off, because I'm not going to wash this beast. It takes too long. Oh, and I talked to Jeff about bio, too. The, what can be done about, getting some green into the Central Michigan account power rental.
Well, if you're working with the hoe, just work with the hoe. It's what he's there for and good at. One of the things he's good at.
Well, if you can get enough to pay for a year's worth of rent and get that equipment back in there, that's what it sounds like the issue is. But let me know later when he gets a chance to hang those two doors at his kid's house.
Oh, yeah, I know they were working there on concrete or something the other day. So, all right. We are into the city limit of, well, Indian River, so we are pulling into our stop.
So you're going to reroute Indian River then while you do the rack?
No, I'm going to work on my rack and a lantern, so. At the cabin there. I'm over here stopping in Indian River.
Is that by microwave or is that by network?
Well, a Lanson has a microwave and a fiber link. So fiber and then also microwave to Petoskey. And Petoskey has a microwave or Crossroads Petoskey. Microwave link to India at the Sheboygan Hackleberg. And then from Sheboygan. Yeah, I thought so. And then from Sheboygan to Heckleberg to Indian River site. And then there's a cable modem there, too, that we have as well.
Okay, so it's microwave primary with fiber background, backbone. Okay. And then cable as a failover.
And then it's also capacity at a microwave to sets two, and from sets two, there's fiber at sets two, so we've got a couple different paths in microwaves up here.
Gotcha. I always just try to figure it out. So, at Metro, a lot of our equipment is either fiber or it's microwave link, you know, across the airport.
Yep. All right. You got to go inside to get a shower. I'm a stinky, sweaty bastard. Beautiful.
All right. Take it easy. Don't work too hard tomorrow. Okay. 73,
K6HMD testing last heard on MI5DMR. K6HMD testing pattern center repeater.
KE8WUO.
Oh, they are so hard. They are so great.